A quorum is present, so I will call this meeting of the Government Operations Committee to order. Today is February 13th, 2013. I hope members will bear with me. This is the first time I've ever chaired one of these things, so hopefully I do it justice. The clerk will take the roll, and I assume somebody out there has had a chance to read the minutes, so I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Mr. Chair, so moved.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. The only item of legislation on the agenda today is House File 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. We have to vote on the minutes. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. House File 152 is on the agenda today. Representative Nelson, would you like to explain your bill?
First, I'll make a motion that House File 152 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the general register. With that, House File 152 is a fairly straightforward and a bill that's there. And right now, there's an ombudsman that's in the Department of Transportation that Commissioner Sorrell, after the I-35W bridge collapse, put in there to try and make better relationships with the general public out there. And it's been a successful program. There's instances where they deal with the public when they have issues with the MnDOT, I've got some examples, but they deal with it and they try and solve problems between our citizens of the state of Minnesota and MnDOT, which is a huge agency and can be kind of daunting to have to try and get answers from. From what I've been told is the new incoming Commissioner Zelli is intending on keeping the ombudsman in place, but what this bill basically does is keep it in statute so that future commissioners of the Department of Transportation will maintain this position, because I think it gives value to the citizens of the state of Minnesota. And there's, I think in your packet there should be a handout that from the Department of Transportation off of their website. This is what the ombudsman does. This is how they promote the program, and it's a good thing because of that. Also in your packet, you'll have a list of other ombudsmen that are in statute. So this isn't a unique. It's going to be joining these other ones that are currently in the statute. And a couple examples of what the ombudsman does, and I've got three of them here, but I've been told there's many more that I could get if I needed them. One of them is Representative Purcell's district. MnDOT did work on an adjacent highway. The homeowner claimed that after the work was done, where the homeowner's mailbox was a constant puddle there. So every time they went out and got in their mail, they had to slog through a puddle to get their mail. The ombudsman worked with this resident, worked with the post office, and worked with MnDOT, and they actually got the mailbox moved, and so this person doesn't have to slog through the puddle every time they go to get their mail every day. So that was, you know, that may seem minor, but if that's you having to get your feet wet every morning when you go to get your mail or afternoon, that can be a big thing to you. Another one happened out in Albert Lea area that at the time was Representative Brown's area. A citizen at a meeting, city council meeting, pointed out that a business sign that had been up there for 40 years was actually on MnDOT right away. Well, originally MnDOT came out and told the owner that they had to remove the sign immediately at the homeowner's the owner's expense. MnDOT worked with the ombudsman worked with the MnDOT and the resident and the business owner, and they got a respectful compromise. They allowed the sign to be up six more months, and MnDOT paid for its removal because it had been there for 40 years. And probably the most important one here is this one that happened down in Representative Bingham's area at the time in St. Paul Park. After extensive road construction, Highway 61, a homeowner had major structural damage to their home, including walls that actually moved. And the insurance company for the construction company contacted MnDOT and claimed that there was absolutely none of the damage was caused by them. The ombudsman came out, worked with MnDOT, worked with the homeowner, and it was determined that it was, in fact, caused by the road construction, and the homeowner was given enough money to fix their home. And that's, you know, that's a big thing for people. So this is kind of things that they do all around the state. It gives an independent voice that works directly for the commissioner, an independent voice to deal with these issues when somebody maybe had been stonewalled by MnDOT, And it helps, like I said, it helps create better relations with MnDOT, better relations to with our state government, with our citizens of the state of Minnesota, and that's what the bill does. So I'll stand for questions.
Sure. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do appreciate the improvement to the committee.
Be careful.
Representative Nelson, if the ombudsman is supposed to be independent, wouldn't you want it, you know, that person to be appointed outside of the department, sort of some sort of a joint? And I don't have a solution for it. I'm just thinking that you know, it's a good idea to have an independent ombudsman, but if you know, sometime in the future, isn't there that temptation to have, if you're appointing someone to keep an eye over you, you might not pick someone overly aggressive in, you know, that role?
I think, Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, I think the way it works now, I think it's working well within the agency. This person, because they have an independent ear from the other department heads and they can go directly to the commissioner, it gives them the ability that they need to do their job within the department. And I don't think it, I believe we need to keep it there.
Sure. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson, I'm not as concerned with what's happened in the past, what's happening now, but when we go and move and take something and make it in statute like this, we're looking towards the future. And when we set something up with some permanence, and with, you know, some of the authority, because this step also, I would assume, has some legal ramifications, so that if there is a dispute that does reach the courts, that this position has, you know, some stature and importance in a case, and that I just want to make sure that we do maybe the extra step to ensure that this, if we're going to do this, that this would be even more above, you know, suspicion or reproach, and that's why I'm bringing up this point.
Chair Nelson?
I'm hearing what you're saying. I think it's good where it's at right now. I don't want to change that piece of it. This person's already on, so I don't want to change the way it is. Then we end up with fiscal costs elsewhere.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson, why do we need this bill? I mean, it sounds like this is a function that's already going on in the department. It sounds like, and it's unfortunate that we've got a government so big that we have to have people talk between the government and the people that they're supposed to serve in order to negotiate. I think it's a symptom of some problems we've got, but it's already in the department already and operating. Why do we need to put it in statute?
Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Drazkowski, as I said in my opening remarks, it's currently they're there. The current commissioner has indicated he's planning on keeping this position. What we're looking at is making sure, because this is a place where our citizens can interact with our government, that and help them and guide them through the process, that I believe it's an important position that we need to keep there, in case of budget cuts in the future, that this might be the first place that future commissioners might say, well, we don't need that person to go, and then we end up having more issues and more lawsuits and more problems with our Department of Transportation, with our citizens. So that's why the bill.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Nelson, we're going to deliberately make the government less nimble and less able to adapt to future situations, is what it sounds like to me. We're going to develop this structure around this position and this department so that there's no way the department can make nimble decisions on its own to be the most efficient and effective in the future, is what it sounds like to me. I mean, if this is the most effective place and approach for them now with their resources, then they should have this position and or this office, and obviously have, and it's apparently working for them. But why would we tie their hands in the future so that that they can't operate effectively, I don't understand. I had another question. Did MnDOT actually ask for this bill? Did they ask to have their hands tied on this?
Chair Nelson.
Representative, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman, and Representative Druskowski, they didn't ask for the bill, but there's representatives here from MnDOT. They are not opposing the bill.
Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Nelson, who is asking for the bill?
Chair Nelson.
Representative Druskowski and Mr. Chair, it was brought to me by some citizens and some people that have had issues, and that's who brought the bill to me, and I thought it was a good idea, so I wrote the bill.
Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last question, Representative Nelson. So are the unions asking for this bill, or are they supporting the bill?
Chair Nelson.
Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Mr. Chairman, I'm promoting or demoting. I don't know what the case, but anyway, Mr. Chairman and Representative Druskowski, the unions have not approached me at all about this. It's not a union position. It's not a union. There's not a union position one way or the other. It's not a union issue.
So, Mr.
Representative Druskowski.
So, Representative Nelson, so the unions are neutral on the bill? They're not supporting or opposed to it?
Chair
Is that right?
Chair Mr. Nelson. Chairman and Representative Scalzi, the unions haven't contacted me one way or the other, so I don't know, but it wasn't brought to me by the unions. It was brought to me by citizens who are concerned about having this. And it goes back to some interactions I had in the past with my union office, the carpenter's office in Anoka, when some interactions we had. That's why I see the value of it in some interactions we had when they were expanding 169 through Anoka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Nelson.
Sir. Representative Blum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, sir. Representative Nelson, what is the intended path, committee-wise, transportation policy, financer, that this would go through?
Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Quam, this has already gone to was in transportation policy. I have a fiscal note that we got that there's no fiscal impact, so it's not going to transportation finance. Doesn't need to go there. The motion is to send it directly to the floor, to the general register.
Okay. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Nelson, just a couple of other questions. As I mentioned yesterday, we had the folks in from Minneapolis about the parks situation, and it's just a more global kind of an idea from a public policy and a standpoint. With MnDOT having a position like this and being raised from an internal staffing position to a statutory position, do you see other departments or other agencies within the state that have or need or should have something like this codified in statute as well?
Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, there have been some people that have expressed an interest of possibly doing this also, but they've not approached me, so I'm not aware of.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and Chair Nelson, the only other question, just to follow up, if we're going to the general register on here and there's a statutory position, doesn't that really need to still go through government finance or through the transportation, because there is the position's already there, and I don't know if they're going permanent. Do we need to have something? I'm relatively new on the process. I'm just asking that from a procedural standpoint, because there will be a future obligation budget-wise for that. That's since it was a discretionary position.
Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Driscoll, the chair of the Transportation Committee has not expressed a desire to see it, but if he does, we can re-refer it from the floor to there.
I have Representative Ward and then Representative Kahn.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Nelson, I have a couple of questions demonstrating my ignorance probably, but does a complaint department exist already, and was then that determined to be insufficient after the 35E bridge went down?
Chair Nelson.
I'm getting the shake of the head from Mr. Peterson from MnDOT that no, there is not a complaint department. And then, like I said, Representative or Commissioner Sorrell at the time brought this up as a way to field complaints and deal with issues that come out of that and get better communications with our citizens and Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Representative Ward.
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, thank you again. That makes sense to have some place for people to go. And I'm wondering, I don't understand how this would tie their hands or allow them to be more nimble. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that will improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the department?
Chair Nelson?
I don't know. I guess that's the best answer I have. I know right now this position's being utilized a lot. They used to have three, and I believe now they have four people in this position. They go around the state. It allows that person to go investigate outside of the people that are working on our project. It's just like any project. Sometimes when you're in that project, you get tunnel vision about things that are going on. This is more of a people person type of position where they go out and if there's somebody has a problem, they deal with that. Between that person, the homeowner that has the problem or business owner that has the problem, and the people on the job in MnDOT, and try and solve the disputes. And dispute resolution, I guess, is what they do too, is so that it makes it easier, and so they don't end up getting in the courts and lawsuits and have people filing lawsuits. So I think it saves us money in the long run in the state.
Representative Ward.
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, thank you again. If people have no other recourse, if they're not getting satisfaction because the department is busy and, you know, the communications break down or whatever, then their alternative would be to contact the Attorney General or an attorney on their own.
Mr.
Nelson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Ward, that would be the case, yes.
Representative Kahn and then Representative Drazkowski.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just a comment that in general fiscal note says that there's no fiscal impact. We don't send it on to the Finance Committee unless the Finance Committee specifically requests it. Always been the policy of this committee.
Okay, Chair Nelson. Okay. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, wondering if there's somebody from the department that could testify in this bill or take questions.
Yeah, I believe there is.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Please come to the desk and identify yourself for the recording.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Peterson with the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Sure. Just Representative Drazkowski, did you have any specific questions? Or just
I do, Mr. Chair, unless Mr. Peterson has anything he'd like to, I mean, he maybe just wants to stand for questions or if he has something to offer. Otherwise, I have questions.
Mr. Peterson, any general comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't really have too much to add. I think the situation's been reasonably well represented here. We do have an ombudsperson office right now, ombudsman's office right now. There are four employees in there, as Representative Nelson stated, and they are very busy getting involved with the place, certain situations where the public interacts with members of the public. We have situations where, you know, we have a proposed improvement, for example, that an adjacent landowner may not like or a member of the public may disagree with. Sometimes over time, those opposing positions harden, emotions get involved, and the ombudsman's office can come in and they're perceived as a neutral third party, hear from both sides, and try to work through the issues that exist. During my early time in my current position, which is in government affairs at MnDOT, a lot of the those types of disputes would come through the legislature to me, and in the form of like a constituent service request, and so we would try to perform that function as well as we could. And since this office came into existence, it's actually those requests now go there, and I think they're much better able to deal with those types of situations than we are, for example. And I suspect that members of the legislature who have funneled some requests to that office feel that that's probably worked out better for them as well. So that I would just offer that.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Peterson. How many employees are there in this department? Is there three or four, I thought I heard? And are they union employees?
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Drazkowski. I believe the person that runs the office is a member of the manager's plan, so is not represented by a bargaining unit, but the other three employees, I believe, are represented by one of the bargaining units. I'm not sure which one, but I suspect the MAPE.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Peterson, or Mr. Peterson, sorry. Representative Nelson, I've got the same problem. Mr. Peterson, I'm having a hard time understanding how this, we've got 8 or 10 feet of statute already, bookend to bookend. I don't know how long it is, but I'm sure it's very long. With this bill, we're adding more structure to statute that leaves you less room and ability to maneuver with the limited resources that this legislature in the future will appropriate to you. I can't see how this is helpful to your department to do this. How is this going to help your department, this bill?
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski. I think the Ombudsman's Office, in the view of the previous commissioner and our current commissioner, helps us by working with the public to kind of defuse some of these situations where the department has some issue with a local resident or local government or something like that. So, and in the long run, we think it helps the department operate more effectively by, you know, not getting bogged down in extended disputes or negotiations to resolve some of these situations. And as Representative Nelson points out, it could potentially keep us out of the court as well. The flip side of that, as I think you're getting at here, is that it does set in statute and take away the commissioner's discretion in the future to determine whether this is the best use of the department's resources at the time. And, you know, at the department, we kind of wrestle with that a little bit because it is a little bit more of a specific direction to agency management and how to organize the department and allocate resources internally. But because of the benefits that we see, and that we just have decided to let the legislature basically decide whether this is the, you know, appropriate role for the legislature to determine that this position and this role should be in statute.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Peterson, I think I heard you say that, in essence, if the legislature does this, we'll figure out how to make it work. But that's not what I asked. What I asked is, how will this help you? How will this bill help you? I mean, I understand the virtues of the office and what they do, and that dog's been beaten here many times in the discussion, but I want to look at the bill. How is codifying the current structure, this part of your department, in statute into the future, and essentially removing your ability to make decisions around the size, scope, and behavior of that part of your department, how is that helpful to you as a department?
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Drazkowski, it's hard to see that far into the future since we currently have a commitment to keep this position in place. You know, I guess, you know, I guess I wouldn't be able to offer an opinion on that, whether it would actually be beneficial or not in the long run, since it basically ensures that it will continue a function that is already in place.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Peterson.
I just have one question, and then Representative Pugh has a question. Your comments, Mr. Peterson, about how your office used to handle some of these constituent requests through legislators got me thinking just about other agencies. After I was elected, but before I took office, I had a question from a constituent about fishing limits that the DNR put in place on a lake in northern Minnesota, and not knowing who to contact, I just decided to contact the DNR Legislative Affairs Office, and they were helpful and got me the information I needed, which I supplied to the resident. Now that you mentioned that, I was thinking it might have been helpful if there had been an ombudsperson in the DNR's office. Do you know if other agencies do that?
Mr. Chair, the types of questions that you just described that, about like fishing limits for the DNR, we still handle almost all the requests from the legislature about things of that nature where there's just some confusion or just that people need some information about how different regulations or rules or practices apply at the department. So it's a little bit different than the things that the ombudsman typically handles, which are areas where we actually have a disagreement with the public, and so there's some need to kind of work through the source of the disagreement.
Do you know, I'm sure there are situations where something the DNR is doing bumps up against property rights of somebody or something. Do you know if other agencies, I keep mentioning DNR, but do you know if there are other agencies that have an ombudsperson?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, there are other agencies, and I don't have the list with me, but there are a handful of agencies, I believe, that have an ombudsman's office in statute.
Okay. That's
the handout.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Representative Pugh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Peterson. You mentioned briefly how very busy your office is, and this is really a follow-on question to Representative Drazkowski about dispute resolution. It sounds like that's something of significance, or at least a matter of significance within the department currently. And I'm wondering how much of this, of the staff's time, and specifically this new addition, might be as a result of the expansion of light rail transit.
Mr. Peterson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pugh, none that I'm aware of. We are not the lead agency for light rail transit development. That's the Met Council. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that we might get requests or inquiries about the issues related to light rail transit, we would, in general, refer them to the Met Council for resolution.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Kwong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am trying to understand why we don't have, because as the discussion just come up from the testifier, it sounds as if this position is somewhat of a mediator, and I don't see any requirement that the person be trained and certified in mediation or any of the other skill sets that would be useful. Is there the opportunity to maybe have some qualifications included? And then if this has been such a good position for this department, would it be not more appropriate to try and set up a general ombudsman activity across other departments instead of, they already have it here. It sounds through the discussion as if maybe other departments don't have this function. So would it be not best to have this bill say, hey, this is a function that our agencies would need? And granted, I'm not familiar with the inner workings of all the agencies, but if we're trying to make this better, instead of just saying, okay, we like what you're doing, continue doing it, can we add more or better functionality, added new service? And I think that's sort of what was coming out of the discussion was, what's the value that we're adding with this piece of legislation? I'm not disagreeing with the intent. I'm just thinking that if we're going to go through this effort and coding, let's, add the, greater leverage and value.
First, Representative Kwong, I apologize. I may have created some confusion with my question. There is, Chair Nelson did mention there's a handout here, and it does mention that there are six state agencies or organizations that have ombudspersons, and they are in statute. So I just heard you say that other agencies don't do this, so I just thought I'd mention that. Sorry if I made some confusion there.
Mr. Chair, just...
Sure.
So then to clarify with that, so all agencies have ombudsman? might be a better...
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, there's a list here of ones that are in statute, including the Department of Agriculture. And right in there it says the position is created to provide information, investigate complaints arising from the chapter that dealing with agriculture. The people that came forward to me that were expressing this were people that were concerned with the Department of Transportation, and that's why it's limited to the Department of Transportation, because they have a position there, and it makes sure it stays there. There was some concern that it would go away with the new commissioner, and that's where the bill comes out of. If you want to co-chair or co-author an amendment to do a more global ombudsman program, I'd be willing to talk to you about that, or willing to co-author it with you. But right now, I'm just concentrating on the Department of Transportation.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Nelson. It would be good for us to, the qualifications and improvement. I would like to have that discussion. At this time, I think it might not be the best to try and wordsmith and do that in committee.
Chair Nelson. Representative Falk, it looks like you have a question.
More of a comment, Mr. Chairman, and I just think that some of the debate or the discussion was kind of straying from the intent of this bill. I think this is a pretty narrowly focused bill, and we should keep it to the Department of Transportation. We don't have other agencies here, and so my thought is just to try to keep focused on what the matter at hand is.
Seeing no other questions, I guess Representative Chair Nelson, did you have any closing comments?
It's a good bill. Vote yes.
Okay. Representative Chair Nelson renews his motion to pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Falk.
I think it's typically customary to ask if anybody from the public wishes to testify on a bill before it goes to a vote.
My bad. Would anybody from the public like to testify on this bill? Okay, seeing nobody, Chair Nelson renews his motion that the bill be passed.
Recommended pass.
And recommended to pass and re-referred to the General Register. I get that right? Okay. Will all in favor please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. The bill. The motion is approved. So, thanks. There's nothing else on the agenda, so I guess
we're
I'll. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson, I'm just wondering if you have an idea of what's coming on the agenda next week, if you know what the bills are.
I believe, Madam Chair, or Representative Pepin, I believe Mr. Geldman has emailed. I think I saw an email. What is going to be on the agenda next week? We got two bills up on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, I believe we've got the scheduled the mail center bill.
Yeah, I have it here. Actually, it looks like on Tuesday, House File 414, Representative Hornstein's bill designating April as Genocide Awareness and Prevention Month, as well as House File 507, Representative Simonson's bill. Creating a tax expenditure advisory commission, and then on Wednesday, House File 409. This is pending referral from the Jobs and Economic Development, Finance and Policy Committee. House File 409, Representative Norton's bill, establishing the Medical Center Development Authority.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there,
Chair Nelson.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, there may be something added. There may be another bill added on Wednesday we're looking at, so it'll be posted with more than 3 days.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has anyone done the minutes? Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I will adjourn the meeting.